we only gotta do 45 minutes, so we'll just.
Finding dandy, but then by the time I find it handy to rip my heart apart and start planning my crash landing, I go up, 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 up to the ceiling. Then I feel my soul start leaving, like an old man's hair receding. I'm bleeding, bleeding, so please, on my knees repeatedly asking why it's got to be like this.
Welcome back to Homeschool Podcast. I'm Augustino Zoida, the host of the Homeschool Podcast, and I'm here with my co-host Kevin Lyons.
Hey, everybody.
And our guest today, Eric Rocha.
Yay, what's going on?
I gotta apologize to you, buddy. Every now and then, I always do, like, I second guess your name. I know your name, but for whatever reason, when I go to say your name, I go, fuck! Like, because there's Jerry Rocha, who's a comic I've known for 10 years.
Yeah, he's been doing a while.
And then you come along, and you're Eric Rocha, and it fucks my shit up. Like, the other night when I brought you up on stage, I went like, oh, not now, not now, not wow. And
oh,
I
shit, really?
In my head for a second. And then I last second, like, I'm pretty good at buying myself time, and you can't tell that I'm thinking.
I didn't know. Yeah. I really didn't know.
I'll sneak in an extra word. Like, I'll go, give it up for it. And I go, you guys aren't ready yet. Come on, you guys. How about we really make some noise? But in my head, I'm on auto-tune.
Wow.
That's what I do. And then it hit me. Oh, yeah, Eric. Because I always almost say Jerry.
What a pro you are. I had no fucking idea.
But anyway, we're here, and we're going to have a good time. But first, we're going to have a bad time. just kidding. But first, just a quick reminder. I'm going to be at the Comedy Store this Friday, March 6th. March 6th. I hope I see you guys there. And it's in the belly room. So if you want to come have your socks knocked off and you come see me up in the belly room, all right, at the Comedy Store. And after that, I'm somewhere else, to be honest with you guys. I don't know the name of this fucking town. I don't know the venue that I'm at. I have no clue. All I know is I said, can you be here this date? And I said, sure. So if you want to know more, all my upcoming dates, maybe I'm coming to a town near you. Just go to my website, homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour for all the tour dates. And that's where you can also get merch like the hoodies and the sweatshirts and t-shirts for Homeschool Podcast. And also, this episode is brought to you by Embrace Pet Insurance. Pet insurance for your pet. Okay, it's pretty self-explanatory, you guys. All you got to do is get yourself a quote. That's all I'm asking you, okay? Just take that step. You could put it off. You could put it off for a while. It's the same thing you do with your own health insurance as a human being. You put it off. You don't know how it works. Things are complicated. But listen, guys, your pet is a part of the family. You know you'll love them like one of your kids, maybe even more than your kids in some cases. But anything can happen to a pet just as easily as it can happen to yourself or one of your kids or a loved one. Dogs get hit by cars. Is anybody else on the on the Nextdoor app? A dog gets hit by a car every fucking day, or they go missing and they end up like in the arms of like a homeless guy, and he's using them on the freeway exit for extra change. Okay, just keep an eye on your pets and make sure that they're covered. All right, pet insurance. Embrace. Click the link in the description. All you got to do is get a quote. I'm not asking you to go buy nothing. I'm not asking you to give me money or give them. Just click the link in the description. Get yourself a quote. It's more affordable than you think. There's different pricing. There's different plans for different pets. Maybe you got a big one. Maybe you got a little smaller pet. Dogs, cats, whatever it is. Shit happens. And that's what insurance is for, is because shit happens. Click the link in the description and get a quote today.
Get pet insurance for your pet. They don't even have to work full time.
Yeah. They don't. You don't have to put in their income. You don't have...
That's what I was laughing at the whole time.
They don't file taxes, and the tax guy's like, did he have insurance last year? Yeah. You don't have to do this, but if you love your pet, it's not a bad idea, all right? There's always some scare. He ate something he wasn't supposed to. He swallowed something. Now his intestines are bleeding. You take him to the vet, and they're like, we're going to cut off his leg. And you're like, what? You know what I mean? Shit happens.
How much is that?
I like the vet is Joey Diaz.
Yeah, I know.
We gotta cuff his leg, dog. Why? He swallowed a raisin. Listen, the leg's coming off. Dude, my buddy Charlie Sawyer, who's been on the podcast a couple times. You know, you know Charlie Sawyer, don't you? He's in the open mic circuit. He's usually at the Haha. He does a lot of open mics and shows with me. He's done the rehab show. No?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, he's a big dog guy. His mom lives in Mexico, and her job is to rescue dogs on the streets. They got a real bad problem with strays on the streets in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
So his mom goes and takes dogs and sends them to like American shelters and finds home forms and stuff. That's what she does for a living. Mm-hmm. So like over the years, she just went like, Charlie, this one's going to be good for you. Just take this dog. So he's got like three dogs now. But the one he's had the longest is like this sweet little girl, man. She's like, she's older now, but she got a tumor on her leg. And then he said that they had to remove it, and they're saying that if it doesn't heal right, they might have to take the leg. So I'm just like, dude, he used to bring it when we played tennis all the time. He ties her up to like the bench, and like she's like she just chills there. She's the coolest dog. He takes road trips. She just sleeps on his dashboard. Like, she's just like so cool. So I mean, that just goes to show you, man, like anything could happen, you know. I mean, I have a dog, and I mean, he's getting older now. He's like almost 7, so you know, you never know. When they get older, more problems come. So it's something. And also, I think when they get older, it probably gets more expensive to buy the insurance. So if I was you guys, I'd get it ASAP. Nothing sells like fear, huh, guys? Anyway, click the link in the description. That's pretty much it. You ready, Kevin, with that cue?
Yeah, I'm good.
We're going to talk about some shit, you guys. Listen, it's all fun and games, but we do get down to business here at Homeschool Podcast. I know you got a lot of options for a podcast, so I'm glad that you tuned in. I'm Augustino Zoida. We're here with Kevin Lyons and Eric Rocha. This is Homeschooled Podcast.
Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
No, okay.
I don't want to do that at all. And we're here. What's up, Eric?
Not much, man. Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks for coming on.
This is awesome. First time meeting you, Kevin.
Yes, sir.
That's so weird. Welcome, I thought that you guys had already met.
No, not yet.
That's right. I remember now. We were in here recording.
We were over there. You remember it was raining and everything.
It was raining, and I think the episode was called A Dark and Stormy Night, right? Yeah. Because we were all sharing like coke stories. I remember, except for Lee, who I don't think has ever done coke.
No, Lee
was living vicariously. But,
just questioning our decisions, like, why would you do that?
Yeah. He looks the opposite of cocaine.
Yeah, like if cocaine had an opposite, yeah, it'd be Lee Sayette. What is the opposite of cocaine? Like sleeping pills?
Yeah, pretty much. He looks like NyQuil. He looks like
his little NyQuil cup. Thank you, Eric, for coming on, and thank you the other night for doing that show with me.
No, man, that was a lot of fun. That was right up my alley. I love doing those shows.
Really?
Oh, yeah, those are the best.
I hate it.
Do you?
Now, I've done a lot already, though.
I think it's, well, are you sober?
No.
Okay. I think that's the reason why, is because it's, when you do those shows,
you
it's
are?
Just such, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Wait, yeah. This is at the Sober House?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 years going on now, so it's like, when you do those shows, you just, I think it's what I was telling another, because after I did your show, I did another one the next day.
Okay.
And I was telling everybody, I was like, you know, these, I think, are what colleges were meant to be, because you can say anything at those shows. You were absolutely free to talk about anything you want, and you can't really, like, they won't cringe. They'll laugh. Like, there's an identifying that they do.
You're talking about the people that sober living?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, so I take it that wacky girl wasn't there who kept on raising...
Well, there's always a different wacky girl.
Who kept on raising her hand to ask questions.
She wasn't there anymore. She either relapsed or fucking got clean and she didn't need him anymore. Listen, there's a lot of different sober living shows out there. This is the only one I've ever done, at which I kind of fell half-assed backwards into. Like, somebody was headlining it. I guess they didn't do it that often.
Okay, I was going to say, how did you get that?
Yeah, so... Sammy Obeid, however he prefers. You know him?
No.
No? Okay. He's been on here before, too. You met him, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, he was like, hey, dude, I already committed to doing this rehab house. And he's like, and I can't make it. Do you want to fill in for me? And I go, sure. And so I did it, and it went really well. I headlined it. And then I think I brought, like, Vinny and Pat. You know those guys?
Oh, yeah.
Vinny Falco and Pat Colicchio with me to open and do a couple minutes each night. I went up and headlined it, and it went great. So the guy who ran it at the time was just like, dude, you're fucking awesome. And he was just like, can you do this like once a month? And I go, sure. And then I did it for a couple of months, and then it started to go like, okay, I can't headline these anymore. Because it started to be the same people over and over again, and they were getting sick of it. They're getting sick of the same people. So I go, okay, so how about I host them, and I'll always bring new comics. So that's what I do now.
That's... Do you think you hosting it is why you get tired of it? Because every single month you got to find new comics to go through there?
That's not even the hardest part. I'm sick of it because I just don't look forward to them anymore. I don't like hosting. That's a big part of the reason. In fact, the month before you just did, I had Lee host it. And I just go, nice. Can you host? And this time I'll just do a spot. I just didn't feel like, I don't know, man. I just don't like hosting. And I'm getting to the point where like half the room have seen me before. And, you know, I get to try like one or two new things, which is, it encourages me to try and write new things. But then again, like how much stuff can I write in 1 month?
I was going to say you should quit these and go to a rehab house to find get over it.
Yeah. The next month I just show up and I'm just sitting on the couch. They're like, are you going to do the show? You're like, no, I'm hooked on
trying
to get off doing these shows.
That would be the worst show to perform at. Could you imagine?
I'm 1 month clean. But yeah, man, it's just, I don't know. And then there's always some people in the crowd, and I'm sorry. Listen, there's some rehabs where they do shows at and they're great. And then there's some rehabs which the people that live there, they pay a lot of money to be there.
Especially that one.
That one, they pay a lot of, that's what I'm saying. So this is one of those ones where they pay a lot of money. Half of them are really cool kids, and a lot of them are young. There's only a couple of older people. A lot of them are really young. And so you just assume their parents have a lot of money, and they want their kid to get clean, and they send them to this one where they pay a lot.
Yep.
And that's just one house. This company owns like fucking 8 houses in Hollywood.
Fucking crazy.
And like that's the female house where we perform. And then that's where all the females live. And then there's other houses which are all males. But they all meet every Tuesday for the meeting, which they'll have a speaker or something. But once a month they do comedy.
Okay.
And so and it used to be like 40. Now you saw it was only like 10.
Yeah, it was pretty small.
Like it slowed down over the holidays. And then we haven't come back ever since. And I don't know if that's just because they're like, it's comedy night, I don't need to go to the meeting. You know what I mean? Like, they got used to it at this point. But anyway, the point is, another part of it I don't like is that some of them are kind of douchey kids.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like some of them are, like when you do a college show, you know, like they're offended by everything. They're really opinionative. And it's just like, listen, like, are you anyone to have an opinion or look down at me? You're in a fucking rehab right now. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's like so great that you're getting your life together, but half of them, like I said, their parents are forcing them to be there,
yeah,
and paying a lot of money for it, and you just know they come for money. And I've met really cool people there. Did you see that big black dude that's there?
Oh yeah,
that dude is always there every week, and he's like the sweetest kid.
Really? He gave you a big old hug too.
Yeah, he gave me a hug at the end. Like, there's kids like that like they really are. He's been clean for like a year and a half, and he's still in there. Like, he's a good dude, man, and he's young. And you know, he told me before we left, he was like, man, he's like, my birthday is February 29th. And I was like, happy birthday, bro. And he's like making a big, I'm like, what's the big deal? He was like, it only comes once every 4 years. I'm like, yeah. And he was all psyched. I'm like, what are you going to do? And he's like, I'm like, what are you going to do for your birthday? He's like, I'm going to go to Hooters. And that's why we hugged. And then I'm like, yeah, but you can't drink. He's like, I just want to look at the titties.
Oh my God.
He's such a great dude. And but there's and then there's the chick who was like in the middle, who kind of was like calling the shot, middle of the couch.
Mm-hmm.
She's always so cool and really sweet and kind of helps run it. But then, like Kevin was talking about, just from the stories, the one chick who would raise her hand everything I said because she had an opinion on it, she wasn't there. But this week there was the girl with the heavy eyeshadow who was saying she was a witch.
Oh God. And she practices. So
wait,
yeah.
What?
Well, it wasn't when either me or you were on stage. It was when Campanelli was on stage. So I had John Campanelli.
He was getting harassed by a witch.
Yeah. By the way, I just did a set. Nobody bothered me.
You had a great line on it, though.
Afterward?
Yeah.
What did I say? I forget.
He said, it shows you how PC we are. You can even offend a witch in a comic show.
Yeah, we're so comics have to be careful with everything they say. You you could do a witch joke and there's a witch in the crowd that's offended. Something like that.
It was good.
Like, of course, John would get a girl to fucking say something. So he's up there doing a bit about a witch. And then the girl's all like, the girl's like, I'm a witch. And he's like, what? And then he kept like trying to continue the bit, and then she kept interrupting about it. And she's like, but I'm like a good witch. Like, I'm a healer.
Yeah, she just kept pulling it back.
And then I went up and I said that, and then I was also trying to get more information, and I was just like, do you talk to the dead or anything like that? And like, she just, instead of like being light about it and being like, yeah, I do sometimes or something like that, she just stared at me blankly. I'm like, this is a yes or no situation. Like, she was like, well, it's complicated. I'm like, no, it's not. You talk to dead people or you don't.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm looking for a yes or no.
You were not intimidated by her witchcraft.
No, I was not. But it's just things like that. You got to deal with. Now, And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about when Campanelli was on the podcast. Coincidentally, it was Campanelli again. Campanelli was on the podcast maybe a month ago or so, maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I just released a video clip on Instagram pretty recently. I don't know if you saw that.
I was going to say, I thought it was more recent, but that must have been the Instagram.
We just released the clip, right. Okay. So the clip released on talking about kind of like – anyway, I don't even remember what we were talking about. But right before the clip, where I cut it off, is like we were talking about the importance of doing shows like that. Like he was saying – remember he was saying he didn't want to do – like mm-hmm. bar shows and stuff like that. And like, I get the point that he was saying, like he was like, cause you have to like change and alter yourself to it and stuff like that. But I also was defending the fact that they serve a purpose
yep.
of that. It's, you know what, dude, one time, sure. I'm doing this show in a freaking rehab house, you know, and it's annoying because the girl wants to talk and all this stuff like that while you're working on a bit. But one day I'm going to be doing a comedy club where they're paying you as a headliner. You know, shit happens when you're opening. Shit happens when you're featuring. When you're a headliner, it's all on you. You carry the show. You're getting paid the big bucks.
You're in charge of the ticket sales.
Yeah, all like people shit. Pay to see you. You're in charge of making sure everybody has a good time. So one day, there's going to be some crazy bitch in the crowd who's going to go like, I'm a witch or some shit like that. And you have to know how to handle it and just have confidence. And I've seen guys that do jump on it, like how I jump on it and get not afraid to go talk to them. I have seen guys do that, but they do it. They don't know when to stop. They do it to where they just bash them. Like some comics, they think that like crowd work or being able to handle a heckler means going hard on them. And it doesn't always mean that. It also kind of means like, let's make a quick joke about what they just said, because obviously address the elephant in the room, and let's move on quickly.
Yep.
I've seen guys go too far and insult people when like and get uncalled for. Well, she shouldn't have heckled, so I insulted her. But like, you have to weigh it. Like, how bad did they heckle compared to how bad of a reaction?
Pick your battles.
Yes, pick your battles. But you can't ignore it. You can, depending, like you can have somebody say something, you can ignore it and keep going and keep doing your show. But if it's like to the point where you couldn't ignore it, you have to address the elephant in the room. If somebody like drops a glass and it goes like psh during your set and you just ignore it and keep doing your set, it's like, bro, you're not going to say anything about that. You know what I mean?
I think that's the importance of those early bar shows. Like, I remember the first, two, 3 years, all we would do was just bar shows. We'd do residuals and then we would do even detox centers. Rehabs are fucking... That's the Comedy Store compared to a detox. Because detox, usually they just woke up that morning and they're like, I'm in L.A.? And you're like, yeah, you hit it hard. And they're like, oh, my God. And I'm like, yeah. But there's a comedy show tonight if you want to. And you're like, what chance do I have? So, yeah, I used to do them a lot with a guy named Chris Dunham. I don't know if you know Chris.
Sounds familiar.
He had a theory. It was get them before the Seroquel does. Because we would start our shows early, and you would see them laughing and having a good time, and then you just see their medication start to fucking kick
in. Oh, man.
And you were just like, oh, come on. Like, you never wanted to go last at the detox show
because they'd be out.
Yeah, they were out.
Wow.
But yeah, like those bar shows, you would go in too hard on a heckler, and then everybody would hate you. They'd think you're a bully.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what? No. And other comics would kind of rally behind you, like, oh, okay. Then you might not acknowledge it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just keep fucking up the show, just a perpetual thing. So I think early on you realize those, okay, I got to get them laughing. I got to turn it and then move on. Because you have to show that, no, I'm in charge of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking, you know.
I think it depends. I think if it's like a full crowd, like a packed house, maybe even a comedy club, right? And somebody says something, like a quick, you know how they sneak a quick comment in or something like that? I think you can, like, ignore the first one. I think you can just not say anything. I think it would depend, like, if it's, like, kind of an empty room, like if you're doing a bar, there's only 10 people there, somebody says something, you have to address it. But here's my go-to move. Like, in a comedy club, someone yells something out, I just ignore it. I feel like it's like when you know, a singer is singing a song and someone yells something out, like, or, you know, show your tits or something like that. Like, you got to keep singing your song. I just do it. But if they do it a second time, you got to say something, because then they think, oh, he's not going to say anything, so they're not going to shut me up.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time I have found that if it's a subtle little quick comment and you ignore it, they'll stop. They'll just go like, okay, he's not going to address me.
Because I feel like that insults them more than saying something back.
Yeah.
Because
they feel stupid.
Because they know that everybody else heard them. Mm-hmm. And that it's kind of like when you say hi to somebody and they don't respond, and yes. but your friend saw it and like, dude, they totally left you hanging.
They left you hanging.
It's yeah. like that. It's just like, I can see how that can be embarrassing for them. Mm-hmm. But if they keep on doing it, then you can kind of.
Absolutely.
If they didn't learn the first time, you can. I would assume that you could bring it a little bit. You can be a little bit mean, but not too mean. You know what I mean?
It's like. Again, it depends. Like, you can hear it, the subtleness, but if it was something that wasn't subtle, like really loud, you have to do it. You have to say something the first time. But when it's, but sometimes you can just skip over it. And like Kevin said, like that just like insults them even more. Like, it embarrasses them because they had something pop in their head that they thought was going to be so funny that they were going to yell it out and it was going to add to the show, but you just completely ignored it. So yeah. they feel stupid.
That, I mean, because that is classic attention-seeking behavior. Because mm-hmm. I work in the behavior field. When somebody's exhibiting attention-seeking behavior, don't reinforce it by giving them attention.
Right. But like I said, sometimes you have to. It's like the glass breaking in the room. Like, you got to say something. But other times, here's my other move. It's like, if somebody says something, I always say, what was that? And it doesn't make you seem like a douche. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you're not bullying them. You just make them
commit to it.
And
that's
also your way of giving.
People don't want to commit.
And that's also your way of giving yourself a little bit more responsive time. Like when you can't figure out the guys. Well, would you say? But even though you know what they said, you just want to give them a little bit more time to come up with something better to say back.
And often it's like, I did hear that. Like, yeah, exactly. But you know, like when you're busy doing something like texting or emailing somebody and then somebody's talking to you, you heard them. But you also go like, what was that? Yeah. Just because you want them to say it again because you weren't really paying attention and it's not going to stick. So like, I'm doing that anyway. Like, I just go like, what was that? And it also kind of looks like you cared genuinely about what's like, oh, you yelled out at a comedy show. It must be important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you look like you care. And I go, what was that? And like 90% of the time, they don't repeat it.
Yeah. It's like you said, though.
They're embarrassed.
They throw it out. They want the attention. And then once you really give it to them. Then there's mm-hmm. this, okay, now it's on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit.
Now, okay. See, on scenarios where it's a bar show and there's like 5 or 10 of us, half of them are sitting at the bar not even caring about the comedy show anyway. You kind of, it's very like intimate. We got to just, you got to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or like the rehab shows. So you're in a living room of a big ass fucking mansion doing comedy of people in front of people on a couch and folding chairs. And you got to address it. And not to mention, those are all kids who, like, were college students or are college students and are just, like, you know, they are not embarrassed. Yeah, Young people are not embarrassed.
No.
I have to have my voice heard. They don't care. They don't care how they sound or if they sound stupid. They just – and if you make them sound stupid, you're the asshole.
I think a big part of it, too, is letting them talk. Because then you give them the opportunity to bury themselves, which they usually will do.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best part.
Always let stupid people continue to
speak. Like you said, when you go, I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah.
You're, okay, it's percolating what you're going to say, but then you give them the chance to either stutter, whatever the fuck they're going to do, and you're like, okay, I've got you now. And then, yeah, exactly. Then it's about not turning the audience on you, but more on them. And then hopefully they shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it is psychological.
You know, it's funny. In New York, the master, he never, ever just let him go by. But like I said, this I would never want this. But Paul Mooney would be sitting there and people would say stuff and he'd go, what did you say?
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly an all-black audience, and they didn't give a fuck. They would repeat it louder, and they'd be like, talk about Magic Johnson. And he'd be like, oh, well, Magic had... And he would turn it, like, perfectly. But this is a guy that's been doing it for...
40, 50?
Exactly, 40, 50-plus years. And, I mean, he would just turn it on itself. And then he would point at them, and he goes, see, you know who I blame that shit on? I blame that shit on Oprah. And everybody would kind of look at him, he goes, as soon as Oprah told women they had the right to do shit, all of them started talking at comedy shows. And you would just start, and then he'd start going in on his material with Oprah. And you were just like, holy shit. But he had so much stuff.
He had so much Oprah stuff.
Exactly. But that's no, great. But just on every kind of thing that you would talk about, that as soon as somebody would say something, he'd go, you know, he would say, what did you say? And then he would dive down that little alley, and then he would go right back to his show. It was crazy.
I want to get to a point where I have something to say about everything. I don't even care if it's like a brilliant bit or not. I just want to get to a point where I have, like, you throw something at me, I can probably come up with something funny about it. You know, like, I've already done like those spin the wheel shows, mm-hmm. you know, where it lands on a topic, and I've already seen myself like go, oh, I already have a bit about this, or I thought something about this once before, so I might as well say it now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and to actually have a bit, not try to steer it towards something mm-hmm. where you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I've got that.
Yeah.
Just that readily available.
If they catch you doing a bit at those shows, it's frowned upon.
God help you.
So when you do those shows, Kev, where mm-hmm. you spin the wheel or pick the topic out.
And it's already a joke that you have and you say it, they'll hate you?
Yeah, but not even necessarily like, I know he has that joke. Not even necessarily
it's
that.
It's just the way that you say it sounds like it's a
yeah,
bit that
you like you're doing
have.
A bit.
Yeah.
You can't even try to do a bit. Like if you're, I mean, you couldn't like, there's just such a difference. Like you could even not really have a bit on that. It's just like they can hear you're trying to be funny. And it's the other comics that are going to give you the shit.
Yep.
And that it's like they can hear you trying to be funny. They can hear you doing the setup punch to a joke you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Like you better not be trying to do a bit right now. Like when you do those shows, you have to just.
So what do you what do you do during those?
So incriminating.
I mean, if you can't do
if
you can't do a bit and you just talk about it,
because it has yeah. But you're gonna hit something real. You got to hit something funny. But it's just it's hard to explain. You hear the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like you hear that I was trying to set up the bit, and then you also hear that this flowed. And I just stumbled upon. It's like if you and I were just talking and all of a sudden one of us will say something that's just like, oh, and I'll start laughing. It's like you didn't set it up. You just we all fell on it. You
exactly.
know, you just walked into it. And it was like the perfect comeback. Like in the group chat with all our buddies, we do it all the time. One of us will have like a great comeback. I'm like, oh, that fucking killed me. You know what I mean? That you just hear the naturalism.
Yeah,
in it.
If it's in rooms like that, anything organic hold sway over mm. anything else. Like if you even try to force it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's not like they're mean, like they're physically mean, like,
yeah.
They're just, you can feel them kind of pull back and you're like,
like,
ah,
throw a topic
shit.
At me.
Oh, shit.
Grocery stores.
Say that again?
Grocery stores.
Okay, so here's how you would know a guy who's trying too hard. You're like, Oh, I'm so glad you said grocery stores because I happen to have a hilarious story. So one time I was at a grocery store and right away we know you're doing a bit. One time I was – no, you're not.
You see them jump on it right away. Mm-hmm. Like their voice raises and they get so excited because
yeah.
it's like, oh, but like a fat fastball right down the middle. And you're like, oh, good,
yeah.
good.
So if I was doing it the right way, I would go – I would just start in my brain.
Grocery stores?
So in my No, in my brain I would start thinking about how I feel about grocery stores. That's what you want to kind of do.
Yeah.
You want to ask yourself, well, how do I feel about them? I would think to myself, a common thing is that some people love going grocery shopping. Some people hate it.
Yeah.
So I would just think to myself, like, I like grocery shopping, which, like, I actually genuinely do. And I, in my brain, would think that means – I think that's rare. I think a lot of people don't like it. I think a lot of people think it's an errand, as where I like taking my time, and I really do enjoy going around. Now, I'll start telling you, like, I do. I go and I read the back, and then my dad used to do that. My dad used to go to the supermarket, and he would – I would hate going to the supermarket with my dad. It took forever.
Forever.
Like my dad would be like reading the back of everything, like for the nutritionist facts, you know what I mean? And my dad is like, you're with my dad's a big husky dude, but he's reading nutritionist facts. I'm like, for what? You're not doing anything with the information. I swear to God, me and my sisters would all be like, oh, dad's going, we're not going,
really,
because he would take forever.
Bad.
But you see, that was me just talking about how I feel about grocery stores, and I actually got something funny about my dad out of it. And
yeah.
I probably could do a bit about that. So that's why I love doing shows about that, is that later on you'll find a bit. But I just want to get to the point where I have something on everything. I don't want to have a joke on grocery stores. I just want, if you say grocery stores, I want to go, I remember a funny story with my dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to be able to talk about everything.
Have you
that's
seen
more
Chappelle
what I mean.
Do that?
What?
Just
take topics.
Yeah,
didn't he do it on his special one of his specials?
It felt a little more planned on Bird Revelation, if that's what you're talking about.
I don't know,
but I saw him at the Belly Room, and it was unique in that you could see him just kind of going through the flow of ideas and concepts. And he had definitely planned stuff that he wanted to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But then he would just kind of make a detour. It's just like, oh, okay. And then he would just kind of... It's odd how he picks stuff up, like different ideas. And then he's always looking for conflict. And that, I think, is one of the tells of him, of Chappelle, is what's the conflict in anything that he's talking about. I don't know. It's a weird thing. Like I'm in a weird funk with me. I shouldn't say weird funk. I'm in a happy little spot right now. I am just, the writing is all I give a shit about right now.
Okay.
Like I've been listening to like Robert Schimmel, like Richard Jenny, old, even like Moms Mabley. Just like old comic write and just like one-liner jokes and stuff like that. And just really trying to take apart out of what stand-up is and how it's evolved. And like Dave Attell, like one thing that I've been doing with different comics is like I'll listen to a joke, I'll listen to the setup, and then I'll just stop it and I'll try to write a punchline. It's like, okay, I want to see what I come up with
first. Oh, that's an interesting exercise.
So I'll write the punchline, and then I'll listen to theirs, which is infinitely better. But it's interesting when you look at the crafting of a joke.
Do you ever have the same?
Ideas, yes, but, I mean, not punchlines. I wish I did. Like,
I don't think it means that they're funnier than you.
No.
I would take that because if you guys did have the same thing, it would almost feel like maybe it was a hacky thing. You know, if you're both coming up with the exact same thing, you know?
Exactly.
It's good that you don't.
Well, I think like the topic and the setup, yeah, it would be hacky if you had the same exact thing. But I think as far as punchline, it doesn't. I mean, obviously they're brilliant and you enjoy them and you love them. But I don't think it means that they're necessarily better than you if your punchline is different. It's just that some people write different.
Yeah.
And some people just take. They have a different view on things and different. You know, like everybody might look at the ball like this and you look at it like this.
Yeah.
From the top, you know what I mean? Like.
And that's the. With every comic I know, it's like that.
Sorry, I just banged into something.
But what's unique about it too, though, is it really does break down the nuts and bolts of a joke, because Chappelle, when you look at all of those jokes, there really is kind of a structure to it. In the same way that, you know, the Sid Field book, Dark Night of the Soul, happens at this page. Exposition has to be done to this page, you know, and then you can deviate from that process. You have to.
Well, because you have to know the box before you can think outside the box.
Right.
And that's kind of what I'm doing right now. And that's honestly, great. Just saying that right now, I haven't been able to describe this weird little feeling I've had because it sounds pretentious, but I'm just like, no, I want to see different writing styles and I want to see what I'm best at. Mm-hmm. And it's this nice little thing where I don't feel pressured to perform in front of you know, comics like you, like I respect. It's a matter of like, okay, I wanna figure out how I do this best.
That's a really good sign of creative work, because usually a lot of people, I mean, not just in stand up, but a lot of people try to find what their formula is and do it, and then there are people that just want to explore. Like, yeah. Like, are you saying, like, what's a new way to tell a joke? Like, because you think about how long stand-up's been going.
Oh, yeah.
And like, all the different ways you can tell a joke, but still think of, like, a way that nobody has ever told a joke before. Not that you're going to ever find it, but it's about exploring, like, I want to know what happens when I do this. Like, you just want to know the craft as much as you can.
And I think that's the buzzword. You're exactly right, is explore, because I'm having so much fun. Like, it's stupid. Like, I'll be sitting with my roommate just, like, he's like, God, why do gay people giggle so much? And I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm having fun doing this.
Yeah.
This is stupid. Like, I'll give you an example because I'll do this because he's already burned the joke on Conan. Dave Attell has this joke and he said, he's like, so I have a lot of pothead friends. And he goes, and it's interesting because they'll always come up to me and they'll go, hey, Dave, you wanna smoke some pot? And he goes, it's not that illegal, guys. He goes, if you want to offer me something illegal, make it a little more illegal. And he goes, hey, Dave, you want to And that's where I'll pause it. I'll pause it, and I'm like, okay, I want to write something. This was his joke. He was like, hey, Dave, you want to eat a bald eagle?
What was yours?
I don't even remember what my
that's
shit.
That's fucking what, funny, though.
And then he stopped, and he goes, there's only, like, 8 left. You know? I just Dave Attell, like,
2 punchlines out of it, yeah.
But this is what's so interesting, too, though, is you start to see people... When a joke won't land, they think it's the joke, when in reality it's not the joke, it's the setup. They're still doing the setup. So yeah. When he says it's not that illegal, it's like, okay, that's not the joke. The joke is, you know, obviously right. It was. But what's so unique about it too is I'm like, fuck, that is so imaginative. That it's like that's where the creativity really spurns from, is like, how can I make this the Looney Tune type element where, you know, it's going to be something completely different from what you thought it was.
Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, it's a perfect written joke.
Yeah.
It's got all elements. It has one setup, 3 punchlines. And which is almost the impossible joke to write. One setup, 3 punchlines. So the one setup is, you know, hey Dave, you want to smoke some pot, you know? And I think it's a punchline alone, the fact that he says that, like,
something more illegal,
which most comics, that would be their only joke.
And that's where I think,
and that's where it would
setup.
Stop.
I still think
it is the setup, but it's a punchline with the setup. So he still has you laughing on the way there. And then the second one, which is bald eagle, which is a huge laugh. And then when you think it's older, he slaps on, there's only 8 left. Like, that's, you know what I mean?
It's perfect. That's what I mean, though, by learning the structure. Because now, like, when I write something, I'm like, okay, that's still set up. There's nothing there yet.
You're not only learning the structure, you're learning everybody's formula. Everybody has a different formula.
Yeah.
And you learn, and like if you watch somebody enough, you pick it up. Like you said, Chappelle always looks for the conflict. Mm-hmm. You've picked that up because you're doing this.
Exactly.
And Kevin and I have noticed, because we do the Laughter Piece Theaters on here, where I don't know if you know, but once a month we do an episode where we play stand-up tracks, and it's usually
that
themed.
That is so cool.
It's themed on, like, one episode is always themed on something. Like, it'll be, like, on food, so we have to play tracks about food, or vacation, or family, and we have to play it. So Kevin and I have been listening to him so much that we've come up with that Gaffigan's formula is, like, the same no matter what the topic is.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that
there's always a boardroom.
He takes
it's always food.
But even if it's not food, he takes something. Well, yeah, we know the
yes,
voice.
Yeah.
But he takes something and he brings it through the line of shit that he puts shit through.
Yeah.
Which is just like, you know, how dumb is it that it's this?
Whose idea was this?
Then he goes, was there just a boardroom of who came up with the name of it?
Yeah.
And then he just trashes it on how shitty it on. I mean, look at, like, Hot Pocket. What's another one? I think KFC.
That's a definite
There's
one.
Two right there. I think, how they name stuff. Another one. How do they decide which city is known for certain things? All 4 of those have been in the boardroom. And that one where he goes, like, how do they divide up, like, which city gets what each thing's, like, you know, like, this place, like, I forget all the examples, but the punchline is Boston, and they go, beans!
it's kind of like his comedy is just what social consciousness is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not trying to make an individual joke. He's talking about everybody in, like, the social consciousness of social, like, how we all figured this out. Like, why are we like this?
Yeah.
Rather than, like, hey, listen to this one guy did one time. You know what I mean?
He's got that ketchup one. I don't know if you guys ever heard the ketchup one, where he's like, he talks about how the ketchup is flat on the top now,
mm-hmm.
so you can have it upside down. And he was just like, he goes, it's kind of embarrassing how long it took him to figure that out. Huh?
Yeah.
He was like, we've only had that for like 20 years.
I like when he talks about the holidays. Easter. Wait, how do we celebrate Easter? How about eggs?
Oh, yeah. But that's another boardroom.
That's a boardroom. Yeah.
Again, that's another outside.
How did they come up with the Easter? Somebody in the back was like, how about eggs? And they're like, hire that guy. Yeah. That guy's getting a promotion. He does the same thing with every topic. And then the ketchup thing was just like, he goes, have people been complaining that ketchup is hard to get out of the bottle? He's like, for like 100 years.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He just does it over and over again.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's so I,
so he
I
literally
like
could do any topic. You could spin the wheel on him all day and be like, it'll land on lamps. And I'll be like, who came up with lamps? Was there a boardroom meeting?
Yeah.
About lamps? Hey, they should be shades. Why? Because we're all going to go blind.
That's too much light. Now it's not enough light.
If Gaffigan listens to this, he'd be like, guys, that's not a joke.
He would, yeah.
Who came up with this podcast?
Yeah, that's not even a good podcast. Homeschool? It's got nothing to do with it.
Whose idea was that?
Dog insurance.
And then the girl voice comes on. Well, you don't have a podcast, so don't judge other people.
Homeschooled? That's not even the same thing. Whose idea was that?
Yeah, just silly.
There's not even any food in here.
I love the one, and now we're just talking about Gaffigan. Yeah. I love the he has so much, but I love the one where he talks about like the Viagra pills for men on those late night commercials, like the Extends. Is what he talks. Yeah. I love what he talks. He has like so much stuff on Extends, but one of the ones is he goes. The spokesperson is Jimmy. Who is it? It's Jimmy Johnson, and he goes. That doesn't even seem like that. He goes. That sounded like it was a joke. Like somebody said, "Hey, wouldn't it be hilarious if we got Jimmy Johnson?" It's so funny. And then he goes through this whole thing about like, even if it doesn't work, like no one's ever gonna call and complain. You know, or challenge it on their credit card statement and be like, hey, I'm the guy with the tiny penis. You know what I mean? Like, and call up. Like, it's so great. I love watches. I was just talking with somebody. I forget who I was talking with, but I was saying that Noble Ape is such a great special. It's the first one that he sold to Amazon. And then his next one was Amazon's first original special.
Really?
And it's garbage. It's awful. His latest one. I mean, I at least hated it. It's fucking awful.
Damn, I had the coolest meeting with him.
With Gaffigan?
Yeah, it was.
You had a boarder meeting?
No, right? So I was on. It was in New York, and he was shooting that show, and they were shooting around outside the comedy.
His cellar. Show?
Yeah.
Right.
And I remember I just walked in the street, and I don't know why the fuck no one stopped me. And he was like right there, and they were getting ready to go through another scene. And I just walked by, and I like had a water. And I was like, need water? And he's like, no, I'm good. Oh, what a day. And I'm like, yeah, it's been a long one. And then like somebody looked at me, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like I could tell that they were going to come talk. I'm like, who are you again?
Yeah.
And I just fucking like.
What if his, oh, what a day is code for his people to say, who's talking to me? Get this guy out of here.
Maybe. Boy, what a day, huh? You should have just put some headphones on. Grabbed it
in a newsies hat.
Just grab a bunch of waters and go up to everybody so they don't catch on. Does anybody need a water?
I've been asking everybody about water, not just you, Mr. Gaffigan.
Man, but I wanted to have you on to. It's so funny. I usually ask people to come on the podcast to talk about something that's only going to take 5 seconds to talk about. But we end up talking about so much other shit, which I'm glad. No, but I wanted to have you on to thank you for doing the rehab show with me last minute, which is something that I wanted to talk about, which I think that I spoke about a couple episodes ago. Were you here, Kevin? I was talking about trying to – actually, it might have been the solo podcast that I did. So I was talking about how it's there's no drive with comics. Like I'm surprised of how many comics I run into that they don't have it. And I think it. And I when I was doing the solo podcast, it was me talking about. I noticed the difference between Los Angeles comics and comics everywhere else. Not that they're bad,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying they're all the same, but I am saying I noticed the hustle in the LA comic. We have to because. You know, we're doing rehabs, bars, wherever we can to get on stage because we're not going up at the Comedy Store every night. We're not going up at the Factory and the Improvs. We're not. Yeah. I mean, even if we were big names, there's just not enough shows to go around. It's like you're competing with the best in the world.
Yeah.
I would say between New York and Los Angeles, it's the two biggest comedy cities in the fucking world.
Oh, absolutely.
And. That's... I don't think this is a biased opinion. It's just my opinion. I don't think it's biased because I'm from here. I would say that Los Angeles is hit hands down the best comics in it, even more than New York. And I'm not saying that because I'm here, because I'm not considering myself one of the best comics. I am considering myself one of the guys like you that competes for fucking stage time anywhere where there's a mic, and sometimes where there's not even a mic.
Yeah.
You know? But that's just my opinion. That's another thing I want to do one day, is I want to have one of our laughter piece theaters with LA comics versus New York comics. You know, we'll play through the tracks.
That'd be awesome.
But anyway, it's just a matter of, so this is what brought it up the first time that I talked about it. And then when I saw you the other night, it reminded me that I validated my point. And when I went to Sacramento a couple weeks ago, I didn't want to bring, like, you know, you, because it wasn't paying very well. And I didn't want to bring you. The fact that if you drove, or if you, God forbid, flew, but even if you got like a hotel, I don't know if you have a place to stay up in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Lee. I could have taken him. But I didn't want to bring them because they weren't going to make any money. It was going to waste their time. You can, if you know, if you're going to not make money, there's stages here you can get on. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I go, I'm going to look for locals in Sacramento. They already have a place to stay, so they're not going to mind making a couple extra bucks. But it was Valentine's Day, and I know some comics in Sacramento, and I hit up like five of them. And some of them told me, like, I don't really do it that often anymore. Then the next five told me, it's Valentine's Day. And then the next five after that told me, like, oh, I want to, but my girl won't let me. You know, she's got Valentine's Day plans. And I thought to myself, if this was Los Angeles, that wouldn't happen. Mm-mm. But that's not necessarily true either. Maybe it's not about where you are. I think it partially is because, like I said, if you're in L.A., you know you have to be competitive. There's no days off. You can't afford to take a day off. Mm-mm. You know, I did end up getting a couple of great comics to open that, you know, by referrals. Someone recommended some great guys, local guys. One of the guys brought his girlfriend, and she stayed there for both shows.
Wow.
And I just was just like, that's really cool of you. You know what I mean? There's some girls that they just get it. And guys, you know, because there's female comics with boyfriends. So there's some people that just get it. You know, like, you know, going into a relationship, if you're with a comic, that Valentine's Day is a big maybe. Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve are the biggest money-making nights for comedy. So if you're dating me, is like, there's like a 70% chance we're not doing anything on those days. Birthdays are another maybe. You know, holidays, not so much because comedy's slow anyway, but there's still the chance. But it was just a matter of, like, I couldn't believe that I was hearing, you know, as much as comics complain about stage time and work, and I was bringing work to your town. And I wasn't even in Sacramento, by the way. I was in Rockland, which is like, I don't know, a half an hour out of Sacramento, but it's up in some town where they don't have comedy clubs. So they have to drive to Sacramento for open mics. And there's only two comedy clubs there.
Wow.
So I'm bringing work to your town, and you guys are telling me I'm spending time with my girlfriend on Valentine's Day? Like, I don't understand the logic. Like, bro, take her out to dinner tomorrow night. You'll save money. And then this was last week when I hit you up, if you want to do the rehab show with me. I mean, it was my fault. It was last minute. But I hit up a couple of comics that day because I had someone cancel on me last minute. And I just hit up a couple of comics that day. I was just like, hey, it's last minute, but someone just canceled on me. Do you want to come do a couple minutes in the rehab show? And I can't complain about that because it was very last minute. Some guys didn't answer the phone. Some guys, they were just like, dude, I can't get there that amount of time. But fucking Eric Roach is like, where? Eric Roach is, he didn't even know it was a rehab house. He showed up. I gave him the address, and he just showed up at the house.
Are you trying to trick me? Are you trying to trick me into quitting something?
That's what I like. Doesn't even ask questions. I learned that a long time ago. A long time ago when I first started working with Joey.
Exactly.
You've been doing this for a while, before you met Joey, right? You've been doing stand-up way before.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I first met Joey, I think maybe I went 3 weeks of asking questions. And then after working with him for 3 weeks, it was like, I got the picture. Exactly. No questions. He calls you. You available on this day? Yeah. I'll see you then. And you don't talk about it until then. You don't call them and you go and go like, what time? What time do you want me to meet? What time do you want me there? How long's the set? Like, how much is it? I don't ask questions. You know what I mean?
It's a weird.
Where is it?
I feel like it's a weird fraternity that you and I are in.
Mm.
Because one really interesting thing is with Joey. Yeah, I've seen you with Joey, and I know how I am with Joey. And yeah, we can be in a room alone with Joey, and I know he's comfortable.
Yeah,
and I know like there's a bunch of other people that can't be. But the difference is I feel like we've kind of gone through the system, and we've learned that is
yeah.
You don't fucking say no. You don't turn down. You don't smack away food from somebody's hand. That's mm-hmm. He's giving that to us.
He's been giving me work, dude, for like 9 years,
and that's exactly what I mean. Is it's just like, how am I gonna tell you no?
Mm-hmm.
That would be stupid. I was literally getting food because I left my fucking phone in the car, and I was getting food, and I saw you called, and I was like, oh shit. And so I hit you back up. I can't remember where the fuck I was, actually.
It's one thing if you have another spot, though, getting pokey. You know, I get it. If you got another spot or something like that, it was very last minute. I can't be mad at nobody.
But no, I was worried you'd given it to somebody else. But that was my thought, too, was it was like, oh, shit, I should have had my phone. Because now I missed a chance to get some stage time.
Oh, I've gotten those ear beatings from him, too.
And that's
the thing. When I didn't answer the phone, and I call him back like a half an hour later, bro, he'd be like, bro, I fucking called to ask if you want to open me at Brea, and you didn't pick up the phone, so now fucking Jerry Roach is doing it. You see why you got to answer the motherfucking phone? It could be work. Like, he would go off on me all the time, dude.
It is. I'm
telling you, one of the best friends I ever had in my life who fucking yelled at me like you wouldn't believe. Like people, you would be like, why are you letting people yell at you like that? One of the best fucking friends I've ever had in my life that I've learned so much from.
Yep.
But also, I don't think you necessarily – no, you know what? I have learned a lot. I have learned a lot because – I think anybody gets annoyed by a lot of questions. I now have spots for people. Like, I have certain guys, I won't mention names, that beg me for spots. And I go, guys, I don't have it. Like, I go, I got the rehab show. You want to do the rehab show? Do it once a month. And they're like, yeah, I'll do that. So I finally give them a spot. Then they're like, I do it once a month. The whole month. Where is it again? What's the address? Can you send me directions? I'm like, bro, I give you the address. Just type it in before you start driving. Your phone will take you there. I just wanted to MapQuest it before. How long am I doing? I go like, I finally just told the guy. I just go like, dude, I'll see you then. We'll figure it out. We'll get there. If you only got five, I guess I'm doing the rest, huh?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care.
Show up. That's
I learned that from him, dude. Just fucking, I don't ask questions. You know, sometimes he pays me a certain amount to do certain things, and the next time it's a different amount. I know comics that have complained about that.
Really?
Not to him.
Yeah.
I know of comics with other guys that have went, this last show you gave me $1,200, and now you gave me $1,000. Complaining. Like, bro, someone's throwing you work in this town, and it's an easy gig. You technically shouldn't even be making like $100. Like, most people pay $100 for that. So, because he highballed you once, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the other day, I went and did the store with Joey, and it was just a random thing. Like, when I was in Sacramento, I called him, like, at 11 o'clock at night, and I knew he also just got off stage, and so did I. So, I'm like, we'll talk for a little bit. And he just was like, come by the store on Wednesday. And then I go, he doesn't even say you're going to go up.
Yep.
He just says, come by the store on Wednesday. Yep. Now, I've known him long enough. I know that means I'm going to go up. So, I go down on there on Wednesday. I don't know. And then this is every show with Joey. I get there a little early because I'm a professional. But the fucking staff is like, who's hosting? I'm like, I don't know. They go like, when's Joey getting here? I'm like, I don't know.
Nope.
They're like, can you call him? And I'm like, no. You call him. I'm not getting yelled at.
Exactly.
He gets here when he gets here. Yep. He's got a sold out show. He knows he's going to be here. He's the headliner.
Here? Are you new here? You know this is how the man
They go,
works.
How long are you going to do? I go, I have no idea. When he gets here, we'll figure it out. They're like, but it's 8 o'clock. I'm like, what do you want me to do? It's his show.
Yep.
Give everybody a refund then. He sells out every fucking show. He does what he wants.
Exactly.
So he just walks in, and then they're like, okay, Joey, so where's all the openers? He's like, this is it.
Yep.
And he's like, it's just Dan Agostino and then me. And that's
he'll,
it.
Yeah, he'll look at you.
Yeah, that's it.
10?
What do you want to do? 8 sound good? 8? Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Go up there and do 8. 8 minutes is what I did last time at the comics. That's it, 8 minutes. I didn't know if I was doing 15. I don't know if I'm opening. I ended up cold opening. I throw you to the wolves.
Exactly.
Do 8 minutes and bring on Joey. That's what I ended up doing.
And it's
and
funny
then he hands me a fucking envelope at the end for 8 minutes.
You learn different stuff from – because like I learned from you when we did that Bakersfield gig.
Oh, yeah.
So we both went. We did the Bakersfield gig. We were both doing 15, and you know, I said okay. And he's like, okay, who wants to host? And I was like, I'll host. And it was like, okay, because in the natural order of it, it's like, all right. I think it's just a respect thing. You've been doing it longer, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you need to feature. Okay. And it's just like, because if he would have told me, like, all right, you guys both have 30 minutes, what do you want to do? It would have been like, okay, how do you want to do it?
Yeah, we'll just go 15-15. I'll host it.
Okay, cool. But that's what it is, too, is it's you've been doing it longer, and it's a respect thing. You've seen more. You know more. So all that. But
I also hate fucking hosting.
We get – exactly. But that's my thing. You know what I mean?
You do when like hosting?
No. Oh. I hate it too. But but the difference of it though is it's a respect thing because you've paid more dues than I have. And I'm totally fine with that. Like that's what it is. You're not a dick about it. It's just, you know what? That's the hierarchy of it.
Yeah.
But the other aspect of it too that you did was you said, how long has Joey been on stage? And I said, fuck, I don't know. And he said, do you know who's lighting him? And I said, nah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said okay, and then you looked and you somehow calculated it, so you found out how much time you'd been up there. But again,
that was me. Like look at my, like a text. I'm like, when I got off stage, my wife texted me at this time.
Yeah, that was me learning. Like, okay, shit. If you go on the road with somebody, you at least want to have a general idea of that, just in case.
Of what?
Of how much time your headliner's done. Because you weren't sure whether they were gonna light him or we were gonna light him.
Uh-huh.
But you didn't panic about it either.
Right.
So yeah. That was the thing of it, though, that, like I said, you learn little things like that about being a good, you know, being a good road comic.
I know when he does gigs like that, he doesn't want to do more than an hour, so he wants a 40 light. And I know that that Bakersfield is a brewery,
mm-hmm.
so it's not a comedy club, so there's no light. and I know these guys are not going to light him. So he was like hitting 40 minutes or 45 minutes, and I just was like, well, he's going to want a light right now.
So you see what I mean, though? That's something that I learned from watching you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean, though.
I was thinking about that today, by the way. That was not this Christmas, but last Christmas. I remember because the pictures from the Bakersfield show, they had the Christmas tree up. So I go, oh, that was like two holidays ago already.
I know.
I emailed that club today.
Oh, really?
Trying to see if they'll have me back. I headlined it once on my own, but that was a long time ago. And I just was thinking to myself, you know what, man? They should have me back.
Yeah. No, seriously. You're great there. But yeah, that's what I enjoy too, though. It's a respect issue, but you also have to love this. Before he fucking went off the deep end, Kevin Spacey had a great episode on Inside the Actor's Studio. And it was interesting because they asked him, they said, you know, you didn't really hit until you were in your 40s, it was like right around American Beauty and Usual Suspects, when you had like those juggernaut movies coming out. Anyways, they asked me, they said, what did you do in the meantime till you got to like the big prize? And he's just giggling because there isn't a big prize. And he said, to want to be successful and to want to be good is not enough. He said, that's just desire. And when you think about it, everybody has that. Everybody wants to be at the Comedy Store, but nobody really knows why. Like those people that are so easy to quit,
they want the respect,
exactly. And it's just like, no, you have to know.
It gives you
why do you have to do it? Like, why are you giving up a Valentine's Day? Why are you giving up a New Year's Eve? It's just like, well, if you don't understand, if you don't love it that much, and I'm not saying that, you know, you're a fool if you don't, but
yeah,
it's not like giving up New Year's, Valentine's Day. Like, I've missed funerals. I've missed all this shit. Clear back from theater school in New York when, you know, I had a play that was off Broadway. It wasn't even on Broadway. It was a piece of shit off Broadway show. And I remember somebody died. I was like, I can't go.
You commit to something.
Yeah, people still don't talk to me because I didn't go. And it's just like, fuck, I'm sorry. But
it's sad, but they're never going to understand. You're never going to get it. It's just like while you're at a funeral or a wedding, someone else just moved in your position.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that competitive that you can't take a day off because like right when you were here, like someone jumped you on your day off.
Yep.
You know, like you'll sit there, like I'll sit here tonight and I'll go like talk myself into going to the Comedy Store. Like I do it every Monday. I like to go to the comic store for potluck every Monday, regardless, and just show my face. But, like, I particularly don't know very well who the host is tonight. I don't know him very well. So it's kind of a waste of time if I go down there. But I'll talk myself into it, and it won't end up being a waste of time. I'll run into somebody else I know who, you know, things just happen. And it's just, you know, anytime you decide to stay home, like, you're missing, like, someone else just swooped in there. Someone else just moved ahead. It's like we're on this, like, yellow brick road home, and every time you take a day off, you're getting further and further away from reaching the goal.
Yep.
And somebody else moved their pawn. It's like a board game. Somebody moved their pawn more and more closer to winning. I mean, there's going to be 1,000 Valentine's Days with different people. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I can't – I mean, I'm on my second wife. I wish I would have missed some Valentine's Days with the first one. Like, it didn't even end up mattering. You know what I mean? It doesn't even fucking matter. Like, I'm not saying that me and my wife now aren't going to last, but it's like, honey, I'll give you a better show the weekend after Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
You know
what I mean?
It's cheaper. You get more bang for your buck. You know, you get more flowers for your money on when it's not Valentine's Day. Let's just let the idiots celebrate on Valentine's Day. Let me go to work and take their money. By the way, thank you for coming out Valentine's Day. And then, and then we'll go out the following weekend when it's not crowded.
But that's what it is, though. Like, you either accept that or you don't. It's, I don't know what you like.
Well, they feel left out.
Look at if not attending the Oscars, like the Academy Awards, people that are like, oh, well, we were shooting it. I remember Jack Nicholson wasn't there to accept his Best Actor Oscar for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Wow.
And it was like, oh, no, what the fuck was it? It showed him, and he was with, like, all of the people that were in the hospital. It was, like, Danny DeVito, Christopher Lloyd, and they were like, we just wanted to say, ah! It was stupid. It was hilarious, though, but it's just like, okay, what are you really in this for, though?
Yeah.
I mean, it forces you to ask that, okay?
Well, you gotta love it.
Exactly. Do you want the clout? Do you want that respect? Do you want or why do you fucking do this? Mm. Ask that question. And if you can answer that within yourself, not because somebody else thinks you should, it's like, yeah, absolutely. Like,
yeah.
I was kicking myself that I did not answer your call. I was like, oh, fuck.
I know that feeling.
I fucked up.
Because he didn't answer the call
at first.
That's
like the opposite whenever I miss his call. That's just like, I see him, I'm like, nope, he's going to tell me something stupid. I don't got time in my work.
That is true. But Kevin's not a comic. But if he was, I would.
You made me laugh.
I would fucking. He would want to answer my calls because I take him and give him spots all the time.
How long have you guys known each other?
11 years.
Really?
Yeah. Because we met like the first day that I was doing open mics. Because he was there also doing. Oh, he used to do comedy.
Okay, yeah.
But we met at an open mic, like right when I started. But anyway, yeah, man. I was telling Joey about you that night after the rehab show. I went to the comedy store to hang out, and I saw him over there. Nice. And he was just like, "Oh, where'd you come from?" I'm like, "Oh, I did the rehab show." And I was telling him about you that I was like, you know, I needed someone last minute. I called Eric out of nowhere, and he was coming from a mic. and then after our show, he's going to one.
Yep.
You were just out driving around. You stopped to grab yourself some food, and I just go like, "Hey, bro, you want to come by?" You're like, "Yeah." What's the address? Didn't know nothing about the situation.
So
showed
awesome.
Up to a house. You walk in. I'm like, "Oh, it's a rehab." And you're like, "What?" And we're gonna do a comedy show. But I respect the hell out of you too, man. And I mean, it goes both ways. I don't think I've been doing it that much longer than you. And I'm glad that you chose to host that night, by the way, because I fucking hate hosting. But I mean, some people might go, "Listen, you each are doing 15 minutes, so what difference does it make? You're going to get the same amount of time." No. Yeah. Listen, if you're hosting, you're not doing 15
exactly.
minutes. You're doing 5 warming up the crowd before you can even try your material on them. So you're really only doing 10.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So thank you for taking that bullet.
No, dude, that's to me, that's not a bullet. That's a respect thing. It's totally, you've been doing it longer, man. That's the pecking order. Like, you better believe if somebody else in that situation, if I'm you in that situation, and there's another Eric, then I'm gonna make that guy host. Like, that's I'm gonna expect that. Like,
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine either one. I also don't like to sit there and like go back and forth. No, you. I just like whatever you say, bro. I'm easy.
Especially with Joey. Could you imagine us being like, I don't know. But
he'd be like, you know what? The both of you are off the show.
Exactly. Fuck you, then.
No, you're just, I don't know, man. It's a mutual respect. And also, it's kind of like a flattery also. It's a compliment. You know, when you tell somebody, like, I don't know, I'm having a rough time thinking of an example, but it's almost just like, you know, you'll do, if you think that you go after some, you go, I'll go after you. That's saying I'm a better comic than you are. Like, I would never say you go first than me, because it's almost saying like, well, I'm just better than you are. Mm-hmm. You know, and that because people know that, like, it goes in that order at a comedy show. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, like, if you're giving me the choice and I'm going to go, well, Eric, you should go first, that's like me saying, like, I'm funnier than you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's what I mean by you paying me a compliment to go, I'll go first. You know, it's just, that's what it is. But mutual respect, man. I just want to say thank you for coming through that day last minute, and I think that a lot of comics can take a page out of your book, that you're always out there doing your thing, hustling, and when the phone rings, you're ready to go.
Now I am. See, I got this fucking thing right here.
Yeah. But that's it, dude.
No, I appreciate you for the time and everything. Like I said, I've learned stuff from you that I don't even think you realize you've kind of taught me. Like I said, just that one thing. So not to sit here and jerk each other off like that, but...
Well, that's all right.
Sincerely.
So. All right, man. Well, what do you got coming up?
Actually, I just want to promote my podcast.
Okay.
Behind the Cork. So I interview different comics. I interview a couple... You know who I really want to get? I want to get on... There's an Undertaker in our town. I have a small town, and I just want to... I want to interview him and just say, okay, so what does your job entail? I am so... interested.
So what's behind the Cork? You talk about people and their jobs, like interesting jobs.
Well, it's a weird, yeah, exactly. Any walk of life that I think is like interesting, just in terms of jobs. It's just like, okay, so what do you do? Talk to a lot of comics. Yeah, and then I'll just sometimes get a bunch of comics on and just kind of go over issues and things like that.
I know some comics that should be Undertakers.
But yeah, that's it for me, man.
All right, great. What do you got going on, Kev?
Nothing, man.
You got nothing? You're hungry?
Yeah.
You got no fucking movie coming out?
I got no comedy shows right now.
You got no movies coming out?
Nope.
All right. Well, fuck you guys. You know you can count on me. Go to homeschoolpod.com. Click on tour. I got some shows for you. I'll see you guys this Friday at the in the belly room of the Comedy Store. I believe it's an 8 o'clock. I think you got it, but I mean, you got to get there at 7:30. You know the deal. And then I got some more tour dates coming up too. And there, just go check the website, homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour. You can also click on merch for the t-shirts. I'm rocking my homeschooled sweatshirt right now. I just got one in gray. It's fucking comfy, man. I don't know if you could tell by the smell. It just arrived pretty recently. You know that fucking new smell?
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, guys, just check it out. They're pretty dope. And also, don't forget to click the link in the description for Embrace Pet Insurance. Just get yourself a quote. You're helping out your pet, you're helping out yourself, and you're helping out the Homeschool Podcast. That's it, you guys. I want to thank Eric Rocha for coming in and being our guest today, and I want to thank Kevin Lyons for being the co-host over there who's all hungry and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank all of you, the listeners of the Homeschool Podcast, for continuing to support. And if you're new, I appreciate you giving us a chance, and I hope that you continue to listen. We have great guests. We have great content. We're always doing our best to produce great content. Make sure you're leaving 5-star reviews on iTunes or wherever you listen or watch, including on YouTube. All right? Go subscribe. Augustino Zoida is the channel. We'll see you guys next time. I think I said everything I had to say. I'm Augustino Zoida. We'll see you guys next time.
Sam Fender.